goodness. I'm so thrilled to be here. I'm a little intimidated. I know many of the men of God in this room. Some of them don't intimidate me. Some of them do. Quickly, I'd like for you to look under your seat. If you have the magic number, we're going to give away a Bose Tower sound system. I don't think I've ever seen so many that weren't in a showroom. Maybe the next time y'all can like coordinate. You can use mine, I can use yours. Just feels like we're flexing. Is there a rep for Bose here tonight? This meeting brought to you by. We have a little business to take care of. It has been my honor as Brother Aaron's pastor to dedicate his children to the Lord. In most cases, it hasn't taken. But maybe the Lord will bless the latter end. If at first we don't succeed. But the Lord has blessed them with a fourth child, and they are right on the edge of Mennonite status. But I'm so blessed by little McKinley. She is just sweet. Jesse, I don't get it. I guess it reminds me a little bit of my wife. Jesse's tiny, but her children aren't. It's like she's giving them all that she has. And it is a blessing. I didn't ask for this moment, but I'm so glad for it. I really am. And you pastors in the room know we're not absolving original sin. We're not doing anything like that. But it's a special time in the life of a family. And it's an indication to you and to themselves and to God that these children belong to God. And Hannah said, I've lent him to the Lord all the days of his life. And so would you bring baby McKinley up if you would? Leave those other children in the pew. And I love Grady and Brantley. Now Ava, Ava, watch out for that one. Oh, she's sleeping. I hate to do this. Here we go. Isn't she beautiful? Come on now. That doesn't warm, her heart's not warm. She's like, what just happened to me? It's all right, sweetie. Oh, go ahead and cry. Here, into the mic. Awesome. You hold her. And will you join me in praying for Pastor Aaron and his wife, that the Lord would give them wisdom. Amen. That the Lord would see fit to convict and to save this youngin just as soon as possible. Amen. And that it would be in her heart to serve the Lord with her life. What difference does it make if our children make a bank of money? What difference does it make if the world knows their name if they don't serve the Lord?
Amen.
Joshua said it with such confidence, he had to believe it. He said, as for me and my house, everything that I say grace over, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm glad that's the desire of this pastor and this mother. I know their hearts. I know them. I've known Aaron since before he cares to remember anybody knowing him. And it's been my joy to serve with them. And I want you to join me in praying that the Lord will bless this youngin', protect her, that she will be saved as soon as possible. I'd say meet and marry the right man, but let's not go there. That just would put a damper on the meeting. That Jesus would come before then. Amen. Join me in praying. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for baby McKinley, and what a blessing it is to look at her and realize all the promise that's wrapped up in this small package. Only you can give life, God, and you've given this life to this family. Give them the wisdom that they'll need as parents. So many decisions that'll need to be made. So many stands that need to be taken. So many times when mercy's in order. So many times when the hammer needs to fall. And Lord, sorting it all out is the business of wisdom. And wisdom comes from above. So endue this good man and this good mom with wisdom. And I pray that you'd save this baby at the soonest age possible. Don't let her live a day apart from Jesus Christ and his saving grace. May she reach the age of accountability and put her faith and trust in the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would bless her and fill her heart with a desire to serve you. Thank you that we can serve you. None of us are worthy. But Lord, I pray that she would devote and consecrate her life to be pure before her God and to serve her, to serve the Lord with the best that she has. Bless this family. Watch over them. I pray that you would bless Brantley and Grady and Avey and baby McKinley. And God, I pray that you'd watch over Aaron and Jesse. Thank you for letting us serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sweetheart. Last boy to kiss you, not named Dad. Amen. That was fun. That was the last joyful moment in my message. I had another message. It was awesome. You'd have loved it. You would have thought, man, how did two such wonderfully positive preachers end up in the pulpit the same night? You would have gone out of here rejoicing. You would have called Joe Author and said, "You ain't got nothing, pal." And after church last night, the Lord said, "I have another message for you." And I said, "I'm busy, Lord. I'm tired. I want to go home." And he said, "Well, write this down first and then go home." Man, you cats are getting ripped off so bad. Hey, let's go ahead and do this. Would you go ahead and look at your watch now? Go ahead and do that. Verify its position, what time it is. If you don't have a watch, you can turn all the way around. There's a clock in the back. And that way, you'll know if I've gone too long. I will tell you what I tell my people every Sunday. We're going to end on time. The old folks are just like, "Yep." Some of the new folks are like, "Well, what's on time?" Nobody knows. Psalm 16. It is a blessing to be here. Man, Brother Aaron, I didn't give you the gift. I don't know that McKinley would have cared, but I think that was part of the pageantry and symbolism that we just missed. It's going to bug me if I stare at it the whole time. So y'all give Brother Aaron a hand as he takes this pink bag with hearts on it. God bless. There he goes. Thank you. What a proud moment for you. Amen. Oh, man. The thing about it is, with computers, the other message is just like a couple of taps away. If I do this one real fast, let's go do the other one after that. Boy, I've thoroughly enjoyed being here. Thank you. The music was just off the charts. It was great. Thank you for that. It was a weird occurrence. Just when was that exactly? Was it September? Yeah, I'm just minding my own business in Myrtle Beach. My wife's a teacher, and so she had some sort of teachy conference that she went to. And we got a free hotel room in Myrtle Beach, so I'm like, I'm out of here. Assistant pastors always want to preach, so I put them on. And I just picked a church at random, literally took the internet and threw a dart at it. And I went to Myrtle Beach Church of God, and it... I was thinking I'm safe going here, and I walk in, and there's the Daniel Waters family, and I'm like, I can't go anywhere. Had to go back to the hotel room, take my shorts off, put my suit on. I'm in Myrtle Beach, for crying out loud. Folks, I can do this for a while. This message... Brother Tab, so good to see you. Our hearts are saddened by the loss of your life partner. What a great woman she was. Thank you for your faithful service together. God's not done with you. Amen. Psalm 16, did I say that already? All right. You're there. Good to see the newlyweds. Look at them. They're so happy. Still under warranty. Amen. If you're going to trade him in, do it soon. Amen. Let's stand. We'll just read a couple of verses together. The other thing is, he quoted like a third of the Bible. And I've got one verse I'm going to take out of context and then, woo! You'll know quickly where I went to college, right? It was called Hiles Anderson, but some people call it Pretext University. I don't know. It's good to see my friend, Brother David Wood. Oh, my goodness. And he just blessed. I hate that I missed. I needed to be home last night, but I hate that I missed. We've preached together several times, and we just play well off of each other. I'm so serious, and he's such a cut up. I'm Dean Martin. But oh, my goodness, the Bible you get when he preaches. And so I thought when I didn't preach with you tonight, I'd be off the hook on the Bible. And then Jack Van Impe quoted it all back here. He was so happy about everything, too. That other message is just right over there. All right, let's read it. Psalm 16 and verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Amen. And of my cup. Is your cup running over?
Amen.
Amen. They actually have a song that says, I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup's running over. Don't ever sing that. It's just weird. I don't even know how you put that to music. And of my cup, thou maintainest my lot. Here's a verse you're familiar with. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. One line out of that verse captivated me because of the events of recent days, and I think the Lord would have me give you this truth tonight. The lines are fallen. Father, help us tonight I'm thankful for your goodness. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank you for being so kind. God, you're good. And you're patient. You're long-suffering. And you overwhelm us with goodness and blessing and grace. Lord, there's a work of grace that needs to happen in the hearts of your people tonight. I don't know exactly how this message will play out. I've got it outlined, but I don't know. But I know there's a work that the Spirit of God wants to do. Don't let me get in the way of that. Fill me. Use me. And speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, if someone is here without Christ, we desperately want them to repent. And trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For all that you do, we'll be grateful. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. It is good to be here, Brother Aaron. Thank you for the invitation. I'm sorry. Pastor Harris, thank you for the invitation. And it is. When you hire somebody, they tell you, don't hire what you are, hire what you need. I did not do that when I hired Brother Aaron. He is more like me. And look, if there's anything about him that bugs you, it's probably me. Okay? So don't hold him responsible. I can take it. I live in Georgia. Georgia's where you go if you're bad as a kid, right? I was raised in Florida, the panhandle of Florida. I am from Pensacola / Cantonment. I'm a Florida boy. But as I said, bad as a kid, and they send you to the penal colony called Georgia. England sent everyone they couldn't quite kill, but they didn't really want, to Georgia. That's what it was there for. And they're still there. Don't jump my punchlines, pal. If we're going to be friends, I've got comedic timing at work. If you rush me, I'm going to mess it up. I love Georgia. I do. It is a blessing not to be in Mississippi. It just is. Although, I have heard that everybody in Mississippi is going to heaven. It's just that good. Where actually no one reaches the age of accountability. That's terrible. True, but it's terrible. I should. How is a tornado and a divorce in Mississippi alike? Either case, somebody's going to lose a trailer. All right, I'm not going to tell any more jokes. We're just going to preach. I warned you. It's good to see you, Brother Gazaway. Love that message. Thank you. Bless my heart. Talk to your brother this afternoon. You're so much better Christian than he is. That's why God sent him to Egypt, which is a type of the world. Man, I'm fighting this message. I'm fighting it. I received word on Wednesday, yesterday, that preacher Preston Moore had passed away. He was my predecessor at Peachtree Road and served our congregation for 45 years. He was a preacher of the gospel for over 70 years. And at 10:45 a.m. Wednesday morning, his last line fell. We are losing so many good men of God, men that we have looked to for direction and encouragement and reproof, men that were our examples, men that labored in the word and in the work for decades. But their lines have fallen. I could call their names like a roll call of the faithful. And let me just say this. This is from my life personally, the names I'm about to use. If you don't like them, I don't care. Next time you preach, you list your names you like. These men impacted my life. I've had the chance to meet most of them. I've heard them all preach. Harold Seitler. Billy Kelly. Sammy Allen. Lee Robertson. Curtis Hudson. Peter Ruckman. And I got to tell you, it's fun to read Curtis Hudson and Peter Ruckman back to back like that. That's just fun. So many times, I can close my eyes and see him. That'll blow your mind, brother. That'll blow your mind. X marks the spot. You hadn't got the brains to fit in the left eye of a blind mosquito. And other encouraging things he had to say throughout my childhood. Preston Moore. I'll never forget my interview for Peachtree Road Baptist Church. Preston Moore called me 14 years ago in March. Actually, 14 years ago in February, it just happened. What was the 50th anniversary of it? I think, I don't know. One of those numbers. What, 2014? 14 years ago. He called me. And those of you who know Preston Moore know this sounds kind of like him. Brother Reed, this is Preston Moore, preacher at the Peachtree Road Baptist Church, Suwanee, Georgia. Hello, preacher. How you doing? Doing fine. Got a couple of questions. Do you have a moment? Yes, I do. Do you believe the King James Bible? Yes, sir. Do you believe in the old time way? Yes, sir. All right, that'll be all. Thank you. That was my job interview. I got friends that send out resumes, filled out questionnaires, got grilled by deacon boards and pulpit committees. I had a two question. Got a word for that. It's called desperate. Jack Hiles. Still hear him. What we need today is voices. Voices. We need voices. I can hear him. All I'm simply saying, I said number one. I said number two. People would imitate that cough because it's a lot easier to imitate a cough than a prayer life. People mocked his soul winning, his easy believism, and they never went soul winning personally, not one time. And name Baptist and practice Calvinist. Tom Malone. God's business is the greatest business in all the world. Jack Wood. I enjoyed hearing Jack Wood preach, but some of the best fun you ever have with Jack Wood is just listening to him exhort other preachers. There's a preacher named John Mitchell that was up and preaching one time, and Jack Wood was on the front row over here, and I was on the front row sitting down because I just wanted to see what he would do. And John Mitchell was up there waxing the elephant and just going, hi, 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 hi. Oh, I said a hanky. But Jack got excited. He goes, oh, yeah, Johnny. Not amen, not praise the Lord, not glory to God. Yeah, Johnny. Yeah, Johnny. Are you on them now, Johnny? Yeah, Johnny. And I mean, he was just getting warmed up. I thought, man, it's going to get fun. I don't know if anybody else got it, but John Mitchell and Jack Wood enjoyed what happened that night. Yeah, Johnny.
I went to Jack Woods Church, Shady Acres in Houston. I was there on a Sunday, and they had a new member join the church. And if you were a new member and you joined the church, you had to bring your TV the first week you were there. And they went out back, and they either shot it with shotguns or beat it with hammers. We're going to kill the one-eyed devil after the service today. Man, I hated preaching like that growing up. Lester Roloff and Jack Wood would kill the TV. My dad would get convicted, and it would sit in the garage or get on the corner for trash day until Dallas was in the Super Bowl again, and thank God. He had convictions, but he had limits. Amen. I remember getting off the school bus or getting on the school bus, and those kids are like, "Hey, what's your TV doing in the trash?" And I'm like, "Don't want to talk about it." Lester Roloff was in town again. I care not today what tomorrow may. Oh, goodness. He called Curtis Hudson one time. He said, "Brother Curtis, it's Lester. I'm going to be there for the meeting tonight. We're fueling the plane right now. Me and the honeybees are coming." Curtis Hudson was like, no. "I'm looking at the schedule right now, Brother Roloff. We don't have anything on the schedule." "All right, we're coming. Going to land at Peachtree to cab. We'll see you in about 4 hours, 5 hours. We'll be there for the meeting tonight." "Oh, no, Brother," click. And in a panic, Hudson calls in the staff and says, "Call in every favor you got." And I mean, they begged, borrowed, and stole a crowd to fill up that huge auditorium. And Brother Roloff showed up. And the honeybees are up here singing. And they'd sing a couple and they'd look back at him and he'd say, "Sing another one." He was thumbing through the Bible. Well, Curtis is beginning to sweat over here because he just pulled every favor he's gotten. He doesn't even have a message. "Sing another one, sing another one." So he looked at the text, nodded his head, stuck his finger in there, and said, "That'll be fine, ladies, be seated," and got up and preached, "The mule walked on the day God hung a hippie. Absalom got hung," and just preached for an hour and 45 minutes with no outline. What a man. What a man of God. Jim White, goodness. You just laugh until you couldn't laugh anymore, and then you'd cry until you couldn't cry anymore. And Wendell Runyon, what a visionary. What a man of God. A man that was a successful pastor and then launched into a mission work in his 60s in Egypt and paved the way for churches to be started in Egypt and across the Middle East and Africa and the Philippines and Mexico. Dennis Higgins, my father-in-law, started 7 churches in Philadelphia, Thyatira, Pergamos. Actually, all in Philadelphia. 1 in New Jersey. The Ralph Sexton. Oliver B. Green. Bobby Robertson. And so many more that we all could name. They all held the lines. And oh, how they held the lines. Yep. You just looked at them and you thought, "We're all right." Yep. But they all dropped the lines in death. The lines are fallen. I have a goodly heritage because they held the line. The same lines that they were handed. And then that's how it's supposed to happen. I was going to have you turn to 2 Timothy, but apparently somebody planned ahead. Thank you for that, Brother Aaron. We are on the wavelength. "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," the same. Did you hear that? The same. The same thing they were handed is the same thing that they handed me. They handed me the same lines that were committed to them. The lines are fallen to me. They're fallen to you.
Think about the significance of those lines that you now hold, that I now hold. Think about who held them before. Those lines. Let her fall. And I have 3 points because I'm an independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist. If you have 4, you're near compromise. If you have 5, you're showing off. I was going to say I had 3 thoughts, but if I said that, I think I'd raise expectations to the level but only let down. Let me give you 3 thoughts. Number 1, we are connected. We are connected. A line connects 2 or more points. A line of heritage connects 2 or more people. I am connected to those that have gone before me, to those that I am serving with, and to those coming after me. Thought number 1, what I do has a bearing on everyone I'm connected to. You're not an island and neither am I. Your decisions have consequences. Listen to me, teenager. Don't be not so naive to think, well, this is my life. It doesn't make any difference what I do. It makes a huge difference. Listen to me, young preacher. Don't think that your actions don't have consequences. The grief of old men of God is the sin of young men of God. We look at young men, and I hate the fact that I have to say that because I feel like one, and that's why I hang around old men. But I'll tell you, we look at young men as the hope for the future, as the guarantee that God's not done. We invest our lives and our ministries in you with an expectation that God will use you in a great way. That what you will do will eclipse anything we could have done. And when you drop that ball, the devil's an isolator. He's a predator. He gets you away from the herd. He gets you away from your accountability. Listen, husbands and wife, you need accountability.
Yeah.
Children need accountability. He gets you off by yourself and he convinces you that what you're doing is just you. Boy, David had it covered, didn't he? Yeah. Finds out that she's pregnant. Oh, I can cover that too. Husband won't cooperate. Well, I can cover that too. Nobody knew. But the thing that David did displeased the Lord. Hey, we're all connected. Don't let the enemy make you think, oh, it doesn't matter what I do. It matters what you do. Don't let him convince you that nobody cares about what you're going through. We're in this together. Thought number 1, what I do has a bearing on everyone I'm connected to. The lines connect. Thought number 2, what has gone before should have bearing on me now. What has happened before should have bearing on me right now. I didn't just get here, I'm in a line. God put me where I'm at in the line. And he intended those in front of me to shape and impact my manner of living, my style of ministry, my family life, all of it. I'm here by divine appointment. I have the parents I have. I have the influence I have because God has placed me, as I have followed his will, God has placed people in my life that are holding the line in front of me, and what they do and how they do it and their manner of living and their manner of ministry, that should have a bearing on me. So many young men today think, well, it's my thing. Number 1, it's God's thing. Jesus bought and paid for the church with his own blood. It's his. But he also placed those people in my path that would influence my life. You say, well, that's just tradition. I'm glad you said that because I want you to read something. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. They didn't put that one up there. So turn to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. This is Paul. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, his second epistle to them, dealing with so many issues. He had, of course, written in 1 Thessalonians about the rapture of the church, and many people believe that the rapture had already taken place. And Paul's like, no, it hasn't. I'm still here. But you find out so much about the man of sin. But there's this admonition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Amen. And hold the what? The traditions. Now, do you believe your King James Bible is inspired? Okay. It's either inspired or it expired. That word traditions, you know what it means? If you look it up in the Greek, traditions. I know a little Greek, he makes falafels. So many young men and even men my age, well, that's just tradition. Well, tradition means something. Paul said, pay attention to the tradition. I'm glad we have a traditional service. I don't have to put that we have a contemporary service because there's nothing about today that I want to emulate in the house of God. I don't get to do church my way. As I said, first of all, church belongs to Christ. But second, God put me in a line behind some men who preached, believed, and lived the old-time religion. And that is supposed to impact how I live my life. I wasn't raised in a vacuum. I have a goodly heritage that was handed to me. The lines are falling to me. They're very specific lines. Listen, and maybe you weren't handed the lines of the old-time religion. Let me tell you what you can do. You can hand the lines of the old-time religion to somebody coming behind you. Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and Bible-teaching came down the line to me. And praise God, I know which Bible. Those lines are fallen to me. That is my goodly heritage. Godly conservative music, godly conservative worship, godly conservative family life, and godly conservative dress, amen, came down the line to me. Those lines are fallen to me. That is my goodly heritage. Spirit-filled preaching, Spirit-filled serving, and Spirit-filled praying came down the line, and those lines are falling to me. Caring about lost souls around the world enough to give, and caring about lost souls where I live enough to go came down the line to me. That is my heritage. It's a goodly heritage. Sacrificial giving and sacrificial living came down the line. Those lines are falling to me. That is my goodly heritage. God, by deliberate choice and through divine action, put me on the line to receive these things. He wanted those lines to fall to me. He wanted me to hold those lines, and he wanted me to hand those same lines and put them in the hands of those coming behind me. The same ones. The same ones. We are connected. You're not a free moral agent. It's not, well, it's just me out here and I can do what I want. God deliver us from these self-styled, ungrateful. Man, I got so many words I want to say. Is twerp okay? Ungrateful twerps. And it's funny, preacher. They get called to preach in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. They get called to preach in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing camp. That's where the power of God falls on their life. That's where the calling of God comes on their life. And they're willing to forsake all of that to go chase a religion that hadn't had anybody called to preach in the last 40 years. The new evangelicals aren't seeing young men called to preach. They sit outside of Bible college and poach all the young men coming out. Well, look at what you can have this building. You can have this car. You can have everything but the power of God. You get a form of godliness and that's it. You didn't just happen out of nowhere. You came from somewhere. Listen to me. That man of God influenced my life. That man of God made a difference in my life. And I'm supposed to take the same lines that he handed to me and hold them in my hand, in my heart, and hand them to those that follow after me. Brother Aaron, I didn't get anything new to hand to you. I just handed you what I got. And I handed it to my son. And I hand it to every man of God that the Lord has let me influence. I just handed him what I had already. There's nothing new. It's the same. We're to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saint. It only needed to be delivered once because it was perfect when it got here. Doesn't need to be reimagined. Well, we're going to have idea day. I've got an idea. Why don't you read your Bible? Pray, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and cry aloud and spare not. There's an idea. I have an obligation to those that have come in line before me to take as my own the lines that they have held. I have an obligation to those in line behind me to hold those same lines for them. Number one, we are connected. Number two, we are compelled. We are compelled. When the lines fall, those coming behind must move up and pick up the fallen line. Yeah. You don't have to fill their shoes, but you do have to fill their spot. Amen. We are not what they are, but we are the next in line. They were giants. We feel like grasshoppers, but the line awaits. Elijah was a giant. He was. Called down fire from heaven. Not everybody does that. He didn't die. Not everybody doesn't do that. And everything in between. And I'm sure that Elisha, as he followed him, thought, this guy's incredible. This is going to be awesome. I'm just going to follow him all over the place, and it's going to be great. And all of a sudden, da 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 da, the chariot, swing low, sweet chariot, and the mantle, and the line fell. Now, you may think that when Elisha stood over the River Jordan with that mantle and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah, that he said it with authority. I wonder, though, if he didn't go, where is the Lord God of Elijah? What in the world am I doing with this man's mantle? Wasn't happy about it. Killed 46 kids with two bears. Do you understand how long that took? It wasn't like the bears did them like bowling pins. Dead kids! Let's say it took 2 minutes to catch and kill a kid. That's 23 and a half times two. That's 46. And that's if the kids didn't run. I'm assuming they did. They didn't just stand there and go, I'm next. The bears are like, which one of you said the ball joke? So yeah, I was grumpy. Elijah was never Elijah. He had the double portion, but he would never be the original. Not like Elijah, but he never had to be. His God required him to pick up the fallen line and hold it firmly. And so he did. We can never be those men that I named. Listen to me, men of God. I hope you don't have any, like, illusions. Okay. I'm not Billy Kelly. Certainly not Lee Robertson. He was proper. I'm none of those guys. Could be scholarly like a Ruckman. Could I be funny like Jim White? Yeah, you think I'm funny. He was just nuts. Remember hearing Harold Seitler preach and just thinking to my heart burned. I heard Lee Robertson at Highland Park, and I heard Harold Seitler at Tabernacle in the same Sunday. It was such an incredible Sunday. Lee Robertson was there for Lee Robertson Sunday. They hadn't picked another pastor, and they should have by then. But they're having Lee Robertson Sunday, and that great auditorium at Highland Park is packed. And he's standing up there, double-breasted. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Knew a man had a big Ford car. Big Ford car. Lee Robertson. And he got up to preach. And I thought he would be full of gratitude. He was full of attitude. He said, hey, it's awful funny you're having Lee Robertson Sunday where you're destroying everything I ever tried to build here. I was like, this is going to be fun. Somebody go see if there's popcorn in the lobby, because this is about to get real. He said, you got this committee over here, and they want this in a pastor, and this committee, and they want this in a pastor. None of you have asked God what he wants in a pastor. You're wrecking it. You're running in the ground. And I thought people would be horrified, and they're all sitting out there like, oh, it's so good to have you back. I can't be that. But I don't have to be. I came behind Preston Moore. He'd been at my church 45 years. He's literally a legend in our area. He's just been everywhere. And people made that statement. Boy, those are big shoes to fill. And I didn't say it, but I would think to myself, I don't have to fill his shoes, just mine. Same God that called him called me. And I may not hold the line with the fire and the vigor and the charisma, but I can hold the line. Amen. And I can hold the same line. Yeah. And we can have the same doctrine and the same Bible and the same music and the same standards. Yeah. And I may not be able to put it out there like he can, but I'll put it out there best I can, and we'll let God move. Yeah. We are compelled. It's tough to step in behind. It's tough when those heroes we've looked at have fallen off. But listen to me. It sounds callous, but it's the way that it is. Next man up. Next woman up. You've had your parents to look at your whole life, but they're going to leave if they hadn't already. It's your turn. We are compelled. We are connected. And the Baptist's favorite word, finally. Paul used finally two times in Philippians. That's good, isn't it? You know he was an independent Baptist, right? You know a couple of things. Number one, he was an independent Baptist. Number two, he's a man. Because he said, this one thing I do. Man, my wife can be doing 12 things at one time. And I'm over here doing my one thing, and I'm just so proud of it. She's like juggling chainsaws. Flaming torches, babies, keeping it all up in the air. And I'm over here with one ball, like, isn't this good, baby? Paul was a man. He said, this one thing I do, praise God. And this is also what he said, forgetting those things. I say no more, amen. Where was I? Who are you? That hurts coming from you, Brother Buster. That really does. I've tried to buy Bibles from Brother Buster so many times. He advertises them on Facebook, and we're friends. I guess. I don't know. And I'm like, hey, brother, can I get one of those? No. Why? Because I got to give you a discount. I'm going to sell it to the neo-evangelicals for full price. Amen. My library looks terrible because I can't buy any books from Buster. Buy Buster's books. Can't. I don't even know why he puts them up there. He puts sold on them. I think he's just flexing. What's the word I'm looking for? Thank you. All right. I forgot, forgetting those things. Last, we are confined. We are confined. One day my line will fall. Lord, may it fall in a pleasant place. May I be part of the same godly heritage and goodly heritage that I have received. Elisha was there to pick up the line from Elijah. But Gehazi wasn't there to pick up the line from Elisha. He didn't fall in a pleasant place. Paul said, wouldn't it be a shame that after I've preached Christ the way I have, that I become a castaway? Let me warn you. Don't let your line fall in an unpleasant place. There's so many preachers that we could talk about, but we don't. They blessed us, but they don't. They were so promising. And God used them in our life in such a great way. But I can't talk about them. I still pray for them, Preacher Tab. I know you do too. The man I was called under full-time service. Been married 3 times, still trying to pastor. Church I grew up in, guy was married several times. A lot of times I pray like this, that the guy that gave me my first job in ministry, divorced, remarried, trying to pastor. I don't think husband of one wife just means one at a time. Right. And this is what I pray. Lord, I want you to bless them because they were a blessing to me. But their line didn't fall in a pleasant place. It's not a happy memory. Hey, mom and dad, your children are looking at you. They want to look at you with joy. They want to revere you. Listen, I know they're a handful. I've had 6 children. Aaron, you're almost there. You got 4, you get the stairs. When you get 6, people are like, I handicap parking, what do you want? Young men want to be proud of their daddy. Hey, dads across the room, don't let your line fall in an unpleasant place. You say, well, I hadn't got caught yet. Then let the goodness of God lead you to repentance.
Amen.
He's long-suffering, but not eternally so. And he's got mercy. And let me tell you something. Mercy just means God protected you from what you deserved. But he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Tell you what, David knew how to mess up, didn't he? Boy, he knew how to repent. His heart never got hard. But even David paid for his sin. So many have let a good line fall in a bad place. It's not over until he says it is. There's no discharge in that war.
Amen.
You old men of God, I know that you've retired from your church. It's in good hands. I know you did too. And I know that you've had to let some of the lines go. But if you look in those wizened old hands, there's still a line there. You taught us how to live. Teach us how to finish with grace. Young men all across this room, it's time for you to step up. Because if the lines are falling, somebody needs to pick it up. All I've ever wanted to be to the old man of God is someone behind you holding the line. And what a joy it is when we can look back and someone behind us is holding the line. In a world of change, take the same line. And when it's your turn, hold her for all that you're worth. We are independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist. Not by preference. Because that's the closest thing to New Testament Christianity there is in the world.
Amen. Amen.
You hold the line. It's time. The lines are falling. Thank God we can pick them up and hang on. Father, help us tonight. I pray that you would stir in the hearts of young men and young women to step up, to get serious, to quit playing at church and playing at religion, and kicking the tires on the new evangelical stuff, but to realize that God put these people in their life for a reason. I pray they'd hold the line. The storms are going to blow, but help us hold the line. Lord, don't let us drop that line in an unpleasant place, but to carry it all through life. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Folks have already come. Maybe you want to come tonight and just say, Lord, let me hold the line. Don't let me let it fall. Maybe you've been messing around in sin and you need to close the door on that because you don't want the line to fall in an unpleasant place. Maybe that first message stirred a chord in your heart and you want to grab a hold of the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Young people, we need you. I've been preaching to young people since I was called to preach. And I look across the country, and that young person on fire for God is so hard to find. Be that one. May your pastor look back with joy because you're in line and you've already got a hold. Grab the doctrine. Grab the Bible. Grab the music, grab the standards, grab the old time way, grab prevailing in prayer, grab generosity in giving, grab a burden for the lost world, grab it all and hold it. Hold the line. Hold the line. The lines are falling. The lines are calling to you. Pick us up. Step up.
First message we heard tonight was God is not done. The second message is, well, since he's not done, someone has to keep doing. This thing's only one generation away from not existing. Cancel culture should not exist in the Independent Baptist movement. It's not our job to sit and nitpick someone else's ministry and how they ran things. It's our job to be thankful for what God has done in our life through someone else, and by the grace of God, carry that on to the next generation. My generation sometimes seems like they feel they've invented Christianity. We've got it all figured out. We're wiser than our teachers. That's not true. God, help us to stay anchored to the waypoints of what we have, and not to let these things slip. God, certainly we're thankful for what you've done in our hearts and lives tonight. Thank you for the preaching that we've heard. Well, we are thankful that you're